Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show wherever you get it, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. We appreciate the love, the tweets, the emails, the merch. Holy shit, I just finished up a weekend in San Diego at the American Comedy Company. Shout out to Justin Hollister and the staff there. You guys are unreal. Unbelievable weekend. Sold some shows out. Avery Pearson, Johnny LaQuasto came. We crushed it. A lot of ALN fans came out, merch, signed some shirts. It's unbelievable when you guys do that. So thank you so much. Today's episode is so fun. This is a guy I went to college with in my fraternity at AAPI at USC. He is a big-time Hollywood film director. You're gonna know this guy if you don't already know him in the next few years. He's making moves. His father, Henry Winkler, of course, the Fonz from Happy Days, who I also met and worked for while I was at USC, interning for him at Hollywood Squares and some other miscellaneous things. Henry, the sweetest guy on planet Earth. I'm talking about my boy Max Winkler. That's right, Max Winkler, up-and-coming Hollywood director, sweetest guy ever, and had never done a podcast. And, you know, that's what's great about this. Just so many friends and people in LA that are just interesting and worthy of this pod, that after having the pod for now, you know, almost 3.5 years and living in LA for 15, it's just like I've met so many fascinating people. And it's cool when I can be like, you want to do the pod? And they're like, what? Yeah, is that, I don't know, I've never done one. And then they do it and they crush it. Max had some amazing stories of just growing up in that Hollywood limelight business, how he got into directing his first movie, Ceremony, King of Central Park, this short film he did with Jeffrey Tambor and his dad, Henry Winkler. Max had some amazing insights into just the world of directing, which I think can be applied for a lot of things. Just the, you know, overwhelming experience of jumping into a new endeavor and you know, his relationship to the business as he navigated through that. He told a story of this kid he went to high school with who, it was the greatest bar mitzvah story of all time is what we'll title it. A lot of laughs. Max is great. He brought it, dude. He was so unsure of what he was going to say and if he could hold his own, and he crushed it, dude. Max has a lot of good things in the works. So, you know, just stay following him on Facebook. He does not have a Twitter. I think he's got an Instagram. I think it's just Max Winkler. Look him up, follow him. You'll be hearing a lot more from Max very soon. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. Follow the podcast on Twitter at ALN Podcast. Follow me on Instagram at Adam Ray 33. Brad at Brad Williams Comic. And go see Brad this week in China. I went on Brad's website. He's going to be in Chengdu, China, Wuxi, China, Suzhou, China. And go see him if you're out there. Holy shit. Brad in China. Little Brad in Big China. I wanted to go out there with him and film a documentary. It's going to have to wait till next time. But this weekend, I will be in Bonnaroo. Holy shit. The Bonnaroo Comedy Music Festival. I've been a fan of this festival for a long time. It's been a dream to be there because it's just the best of the best for comedy and music. And I got added to the lineup, and I'm pumped. Going to be doing shows with my boy Adam Devine. Judd Apatow is going to be there. Pete Davidson. Beth Stelling. Pearl Jam's gonna be there, which I fucking am gonna see live finally and pumped about that. I'm also doing the goddamn Comedy Jam with Josh Adam Myers. So that'll be fun. Bonnaroo in Tennessee, July 10th through the 12th. Come out and see me if you're anywhere near there. Tickets, I think, are just available at Bonnaroo.com. That'll be a blast. And then I've got a handful of other tour dates, but I'm kind of slowing down because some pretty cool news to announce. I found out last week I had auditioned a handful of times, and I just found out that I got it, and I'm so fucking pumped. I am going to be on the cast of the new Mad TV that is coming back this fall on the CW. Remember Mad TV? Michael McDonald, Bobby Lee, Ari Spears, Nicole Sullivan, Deborah Wilson, Will Sasso, Brian Callen. Yeah, I'm going to be on the new cast. Holy shit. I'm so fucking pumped. I've wanted to do sketch for so long, and Mad TV was the shit, and they're bringing it back, and a bunch of the old cast members are coming back. We start July 1st. We're going to shoot all summer, and it's going to air in the fall, and holy shit, man, I'm going to be on TV a bunch doing sketch comedy, man. I'm so pumped. The cast is unreal. Man, I don't know what else to say, but cool stuff coming. It's going to be dope. So be on the lookout for that. Tour dates are going to slow down this summer and then ramp up hard once Mad TV hits in the fall. So make sure you're tuned into AdamRayTV.com to see all my tour dates. BradWilliamsComedy.com for his tour dates. And again, get your ALN merch and bring them to the shows, baby. EstoyMerchandise.com, ESTOYMerchandise.com, hats, shirts, mugs, posters, new posters and shirts. I don't know if you guys have been following us on Twitter and Instagram, but our girl Nicole Bisek took for us these new promo pics, these ET photos. Holy shit. Maybe the best picture Brad and I have ever taken. We're going to make shirts and posters out of them. So make sure you pre-order them on EstoyMerchandise.com. It's Brad wrapped in a blanket in a bicycle basket. What more could you fucking want out of life? So go to EstoyMerchandise.com, get your ALN merch, bring them to the shows, baby. And of course, 5-star ratings and comments on the iTunes page helps us climb the charts. We appreciate the love. Go to iTunes right now before the episode starts and give us a 5-star rating and comment on the iTunes page for About Last Night. We appreciate the love. So many great episodes coming up, by the way. We booked a handful of epic guests in the last 2 weeks. I don't want to jinx it or just share yet. I want you to be surprised, but just make sure you're subscribed. Tell your friends and family to subscribe and enjoy the shows coming up. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's all the merch info. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, Max Winkler.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Dinner or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
That's all we need you to do.
Is this live or no?
No.
Did you guys edit it?
Yeah.
We want to.
Yeah.
No, so I don't need to. I'm just curious.
If you say something like really weird or like not funny, we'll like dub in like Richard Pryor clips.
Right.
Yeah. You know, if you go off on a racial slur that you're like, eh, that's probably not going to be too good for me.
No, it might be just what I need.
You know what's so funny? I was pulling up just some YouTube, like some interview stuff on you, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You are good.
Yeah,
like you're right on that mic right now, which is great. Very, very, very professional.
Are we started already?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can wait a minute. Do you want to?
No, I don't understand. You don't say let's go.
Well, no, because then we
such
like
such a Jewish mother thing to say.
No, we like shocking. It to be organic conversation. We don't like to be the guys like, hey, everybody, welcome to the About Last Night podcast. We got Max Winkler in studio. Oh, this is going
to
be good.
Yeah, we used to
am
do
I
that.
Right?
You're perfect. You pull that mic right to you.
Even closer.
Yeah. Hug that baby.
Okay.
Have you done a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember which ones, but I really I've always sort of had this secret inclination that I sort of thrive in this type of format.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, because you're a great conversationalist.
I like to have conversations and...
you're witty and you keep things moving.
I like to keep things moving. I don't like to dwell.
You don't get angry when people interrupt you a lot.
No, I don't care about that.
Obviously.
The only thing is I've always liked this part. I like doing this part.
Well, one thing I thought was great when I was YouTubing Max Winkler is, you know, a lot of fun interviews and a lot of like ceremony press stuff.
Shocking.
And there was one, but there was one thing I didn't even know. It's always great when you find like new.
I know what this is.
TMZ type.
Oh.
Well, I want to hear what you thought I would say. But first of all, it was called like Hollywood Pop Candy or something.
That's a shocking interview. It was like with like German. Yeah. It was like a German sort of just like.
Well, first of all, they had a clip of just Max Winkler like caught driving. Right. So there was a quick clip of you driving and then they followed your car.
Stars, they're just like us.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And I was like, I wonder if Max has seen this and at what point did he see it and go, I've made it. Hollywood Pop Candy caught me driving.
Yeah, that I actually thought you were talking about this interview I did with a dog that I think was like for like a German candy store or something. It's so
wow. Yeah. Is there anyone you say no to on your press circuit?
I was sort of directed by a team of publicists. And
so when they said like, oh, this person's a dog, you're like, oh, they talk about dirty stuff. It's like, no, it's an actual dog.
They just said he was German. I didn't know he was a shepherd.
Oh, fuck. Well, how'd it go?
That's part of my Catskills routine. It was bizarre. It was literally, I think, for like a candy shop or something. And the way these independent movies make, they sell them in foreign territories. When yeah. You, and so you do these bizarre... Is there somebody behind it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Norman.
Norman's doing all our social media for the pod.
Seems yeah. like he's doing great so far. Strolls right in. Breaking balls.
Yeah, it's so funny. I forget that he has the passcode and also a sitcom style of entering rooms where he just opens the door and comes yeah. in. And so sometimes it is a little daunting.
Yeah, the worst is when we have like a female guest and she's just sitting talking, and then Norman likes to get right up behind them right. and just say hi, and that's not nice.
Feel free.
Max has a very whisperable ear.
I mean,
Max, how are you?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
Great.
What's been going on?
I mean, this traveling.
I like your place.
Thanks, buddy.
It's comfortable.
Yeah. How do you have a girl?
I do.
Okay, so you're domesticated.
Yes, but she lives in New York, so I really...
You're doing the long distance.
I straddle the line. Straddle the Mason-Dixon line.
If you couldn't see, Max gave me a really charismatic wink. What... Yeah. What?
We call her private parts Mason-Dixon.
So you're a fan of crossing that line.
Yeah.
All right, good to know.
Well, how was the long distance thing? I did
that
it.
That was actually a geographical joke. it's actually going well so far.
Because with the long distance thing, and it's not like long distance like L.A. San Francisco where it's an hour flight. That's a
no. You've
that's
got,
a commitment.
Yeah,
that's a weekend.
Yeah, it's a weekend.
Yeah,
and sometimes more. I would fly out there and extend my trip many times when I was doing L.A. to New York.
Yeah, I like being in New York.
Me too.
So
it's a good place to go.
Yes, and I have a lot of friends there, and some of my best friends, and she gets along with my friends really well, and I get along with her friends very
awesome.
Well. So it's nice, and.
Was there that pressure when you met the friends?
No, not really. She's very cool. Like, okay. She could be right in that lazy boy, and you wouldn't adjust your game plan.
How much time did you
hear that, Norman? He's picturing you as a woman right now.
It's not hard.
So he's got sweet dimples, great complexion.
He looks good from where I'm sitting.
How many times have you been in New York before you did King of Central Park in New York?
Oh, my God. A lot. I'd grown up sort of – I'd always like been sort of hateful of my growing up in Los Angeles. I'd always found it really uninteresting. And so at like very young age on family vacations, I would lie to girls and tell them I was like from Georgia.
Now,
remember I told one girl I was half Georgian.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that
also,
a thing?
Mighty Ducks had just come out, and I also said I played hockey.
Well, that's a great move for any kid.
Yeah. And I was also very into West Side Story, so I had stolen...
You said you were Puerto Rican?
I'd stolen... My sister actually said she's Puerto Rican before in San Francisco on a ferry. That's a whole different story. And it's genuinely true. There's shame from growing up sort of in Los Angeles, I think, sometimes.
Why?
Yeah, why
I don't know.
That?
It feels... Really?
Dude, Max, I mean, hand it to local call. I'm so sorry, dude. It could be my landlord.
Shut up.
Could be my landlord. I've been getting hassled about having pool toys on the patio. So.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, go ahead and pull that mic a little
she's
closer
not wrong.
To your.
Yeah,
she's not wrong. First thing I notice.
Like most people when they hear when I tell people that I'm from Southern California, they're like, "Oh my God, I would love to be from there. Or
yep.
Go yeah. there, visit there." So
then I immediately judged you for it.
Yeah, but what's your what about L.A. turned you off to it?
I don't know. I mean, part of what I think. Where I think things are funnier, probably from growing up in Los Angeles, I think you have a very good barometer of sort of the absurd. So I think a lot of my
sure.
friends' sense of humor and what makes us laugh when we watch stuff is like sort of absurdist type stuff based mm-hmm. on just knowing don't go to that street at a certain hour because it's a bad place to be. Not because it's dangerous, but because it could destroy your soul.
Okay. So you've been to certain parts of Santa Monica Boulevard.
No, Santa Monica Boulevard's fine. I'm talking about there's just certain weird places in LA that just are where people aren't aware that this is like life is a circus and this is all a joke and it's all gonna end.
Wow. So sleep tight, everybody. Now is that sort of the thing where people in LA are just kind of always looking for whoever can help them? They're kind of
I don't know.
They're kind of fake.
I always had my group of friends who are my friends from high school and mm-hmm. my friends from college, and Adam is one of them, and I never adhered to that sort of thing. I was always felt like it was uninteresting just because all of my friends grew up and did movie stuff and are from LA, and so whenever I would go on vacation with my family, I would get to, you know, wear someone else's pants for a couple of days, and it was a half Georgian hockey player that, and it was a liar. And what I was saying about West Side Story actually is that I actually got caught by the security of the hotel. Because I'd stolen these nail files from the gift shop because I wanted to stage a rumble. And the truth of the matter is, I guess no one wants to be themselves.
I mean,
it's fun to play pretend.
Yeah.
Where and did you always have a creative, mind? I mean, obviously, growing up with the business around you, that has to influence a little.
How long is this? I'm just curious.
We'll do an hour.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go more.
Okay. Possibly 90?
I'll keep going.
Okay. I'd say 8:30 will be a cutoff.
I'll do whatever.
Okay, great.
Doesn't have to be.
I love that.
What was the question?
Growing up with business stuff around you, like, does that influence your creativity?
No, because I mean, like, being on movie sets is notoriously known, if you don't have something to do, is the most boring, worst place you could ever be. You've never felt more out of place,
especially for a kid.
More, even as a kid, you can feel the grip sort of looking at you, like, get this little fucking rat back and off here, with a friggin' silver spoon in his mouth. So I never liked to be there, but I did have a very hard time. Like in school, and so I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I read somewhere that you were asked to leave.
I was asked to leave certain schools. I was a real troublemaker. Which I had debilitating attention deficit issues. Like it's still to sit down is painful.
Well, you can stand up and run in place if you want
for
this
podcast.
No, I'm
happy, actually. I'm engaged.
That's what that Stairmaster's for. You think that's for me? That's for you, baby. I don't want you to get too antsy.
That Stairmaster looks like it should be in a museum.
One day it will be.
The museum, if there was a museum called the 1994 Orlando, Florida Museum.
That's actually most of the 1994 Orlando Magic worked out on that
and
machine.
If there was just things that belonged in Orlando in 1994.
God, why is that such a perfect description of that particular Stairmaster, but Stairmasters in general? That seems like a 1994 exercise.
Because that looks like Mark Summer just
was giving that away to a family that didn't want it because they were bummed they didn't get the trip.
Or the Huffy Bikes or the British Knights.
Wow.
You're going through the entire prize package.
KB Toy Store.
Wow, the day that they officially announced they were out of business.
Yeah.
Maybe worse than the day my folks split up.
It was the day the music died, they said. That was what the song was written about.
KB Toys closing.
The true sign of wealth, like I heard Barbara Streisand has like a mini mall in her basement, like
what?
With real stores and stuff. Yeah, like a full mall. And
like an Orange Julius and a massage envy.
Probably not an Orange Julius. But,
okay.
Like clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Orange Julius. I would have that.
Yeah,
but
certainly.
I think the true sign of making it is when you recreate a KB toy store in your basement and you get to just run through it and
have your own shopping sprees.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you just gave me an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
how bad did you want one of those shopping sprees growing up?
Really, really bad.
How bad did you want to be on Double Dare?
Really, really bad. But my family was too dysfunctional that we could have never done the family.
Double Dare.
Yeah, too many things would have come out.
Wait, so what got you kicked out of schools?
Just was bad. I was just a bad boy.
School just wasn't for... You just didn't want to focus up?
No, I was just a naughty boy. I just, like, when I saw trouble, I just ran towards it. Like, it was the opposite of... And which is weird, because I also suffer from sort of a shocking amount of guilt for everything I do. So it was this weird thing, because I would do these things, like, I would...
And get the rush.
Yeah, I would, like, hang out in the condemned house and, like, carve, like, F-U-K into a tree and then immediately cry about it.
Oh, man, that...
Couldn't even appreciate your work for a couple minutes?
No. That's the thing.
So you're finishing the K and you catch a glimpse of a branch that looks like a whole family of birds lives on it and you're like, what have I done?
Or what I did wrong, all the mistakes in it. Not the fact that I carved into the tree, but my script. You know, like just like the, which is really kind of a symbol for life, I think. Or for my life, exactly. It's very hard for me to be present in the moment, I think.
Well, you're doing a great job right now.
I feel present right now.
Good. I feel like it's a true sign, by the way, of somebody who's going to be a creative, pursuer, especially in this business, of somebody who doesn't want to. I was the exact same way. I mean, rebellious in certain aspects, but also like did not want to do school.
Right. It's hard. A lot of it is boring, and some of it is great. Like, I really liked history. I never math was very hard for me.
Yeah, but the wrong type of history, too. Like, learning about the wars, I was always like, but what year was the Super Soaker invented?
Right.
And who was the guy that did it?
89.
Do you know the name?
Johan Vandersloot.
I mean, can I be honest? That's probably the guy.
No, that guy actually is a murderer, and I shouldn't have.
Well, yes.
He's the Natalie Holloway.
No. Murderer. He is a murderer because he pumped the Super Soaker so many times that when he actually shot a guy, it killed him.
That actually is a true story and not funny.
It's not just an urban legend on a podcast.
I didn't mean it to be funny. I was just trying to be factual for our listeners.
Max, your high school was Crossroads.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did you enjoy that experience at least? Because that's where you got some of your good buds.
I loved that because I was able to, instead of make, I guess is the answer about the creative stuff, I was able to like make movies and stuff instead of writing papers sometimes. Like I would sort of argue for the Chimney Sweeper, a movie about a chimney sweeper, the William Blake poem, rather than writing about it.
Right.
And so that, it really sort of, the school is a special place for kind of,
I think, the arts,
knowing children's limits.
Yeah.
Well, and that's really great that they let you do that.
Now,
and was it all, were you always sort of drawn to the business, or was it like, because I mean, yeah, you were surrounded by it as a kid, but you know, you could have still pursued other things if you chose to.
I loved movies always. Like that was always my great sort of love, was watching movies over and over and over again, and just VHS, just pirated sort of blockbuster, just like a.
Do you remember one of the first ones you saw that you were like, "Holy shit, that's a thing"?
I loved Hook a lot. I saw Hook maybe 8 times in the theater. I loved it so much, and it like kind of gave me chills. And I loved that, and I actually lied to people and told them I was going to be one of the Lost Boys. Because I went to the premiere, and all the Lost Boys were so cool.
You went to the premiere?
I went to the premiere of Hook. It was incredible. My best friend Alex Schrager's dad worked on it. And the kids, like Thud, and the kids, and the little kid who says, "There you are, Peter." Like, they had like all these Jordans on, and they looked so cool. They looked so cool.
So the Lost Boys found themselves.
And I remember just like hating myself so much that I just like lied at school, and I was like, "Yeah, I was supposed to be one of the Lost Boys," but like, I couldn't work it out.
I wanted too much money. They couldn't pay me. They had to save some for that Robin guy.
They couldn't make my deal.
That movie is incredibly influential. It's also such a, as far as like the imagination goes for a kid who you know, was a kid when that came out, it's like, and Tinkerbell was hot.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
It was a really special movie for me. And I loved like I loved like old Steve Martin movies, were really important to me. The Jerk, I watched at a really young age.
Yes.
Three Amigos, I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Randy Newman, co-written by Randy Newman.
Was it really?
A lot of people don't know, yeah.
Wow.
And Lorne Michaels.
And then, like, so when you have this love of movies, are you thinking that you're going to end up in front of the camera, behind the camera, or did you just know you wanted to be in that world somewhere?
I'm genuinely a very bad actor, and I found that out very early because I could perform for people and make my friends laugh, but anytime a camera was on me, I would look directly in the lens and be incapable.
So you're really good at PSAs.
Yeah, I could, my roof was PSAs. I'm bad at acting.
Would your dad ever try to, you know,
dissuade me?
Yeah, or like to throw you a few tips and be like, "I notice you're looking in the camera a lot."
No, because I was really doing plays. I went to like a theater camp, and I was genuinely terrible. And I would be so upset I didn't get the good part. And then
I'm going to tank this part.
I was bad. I'm genuinely bad at acting, and all I want is to be cast in something. All I want to do is be an actor, because actually I acted in one of your things.
You did, and you are fucking brilliant.
But that's what you say because you know me, and you're
not true, Max.
It's sweet. No, I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah,
I've watched that, and it's genuinely bad. Like you're great, and Beck is great.
Yeah,
and I genuinely am bad.
I disagree.
I know, and that's why I love you.
Did we do 47 takes? Yeah, for two lines. But that's not the point, Max. I'm talking about, did you deliver on 48?
I don't know anymore.
That was amazing, by the way. This was a short, by the way. You should YouTube this. It was called one of the second videos where I play the girl and Beck. I'm on a blind date with Beck Bennett. And I go, "Max, will you just walk by at the Starbucks and be an ex-boyfriend of mine that I fucked?" And I go, "We'll improv a little bit." And he walks by and he goes, "Amy?" And I'm like, "Oh, my God, Max. Like, what's going on?" And it's like weird for Beck because he's, you know, just very... you're trying to impress me a lot, and now there's this guy walking by, and I'm flirting with Max directly in front of Beck. And then I go, "How you been?" And you go, Max goes, Amy, right? And I go, yeah. And what do you? I think you said like, I fucked your tits once, didn't I?
It's horrible.
And I go, yeah, yeah. And then you go, okay, cool, I'll see you. And then you just kind of walk off.
I didn't write the line though, did I? That was your.
No, man, I'm pretty sure the brilliance behind that came from my brain.
Yeah, it was great writing. I mean, but I saw Beck recently, actually, and
out in New York,
we talked about it. I saw him in L.A. first, and then I saw him in New York. We had a meeting about something, and he was very.
He's the best.
I sent him to get himself a gold chain at 14 carats, and I think he walked himself or drove himself to 14 carats and got himself a gold chain.
What?
Yeah.
Is there any particular reason you needed? He liked him mine. To do that?
Oh, wow.
He noticed mine. He liked mine.
It's pretty dope. Does yours have a mezuzah on the end of it?
No. Okay. Purposely not.
When did you stop wearing mezuzahs?
I don't like to raise any sort of red flags for anyone.
What's a mezuzah? What's a mezuzah?
Well, Brad.
I don't know what a mezuzah is.
It's a symbolism for Judaism that Jews put outside their door.
Is that a scrawl in it?
Yeah. Is that an offset of Stussy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like
it was the guy's first company before Stussy. And then from Stussy, it was two brothers, and they had a great working relationship, and then one started dating someone that the other one liked, and then he went off and started Massimo. The other guy started Stussy. And
wow.
The person who really benefited was the Gotcha Empire. And wow. Fresh Jive.
See, and you think you're not good at improv.
That was good.
I never said I wasn't good at improv.
Also, he's just telling us.
I think I'm good at improv.
Where does Hot Topic fall into that story?
That was after us.
Right.
That was taking girls to Santa Monica Place. I actually have a friend named Schmidt who won't admit this, but he had a steel, like a bracelet with steel pegs on it from Hot Topic.
Oh, my God.
Hey, as
we all made choices.
As a former employee of Hot Topic.
Wow.
I saw a lot of that. I feel like you know what? I'm feeling a lot of judgment from you right now.
Did you have to wear the clothes?
No. That was the best part. Is everyone else looked all weird with the gauges and the tattoos and the hair dye and the gothic, and I just walked in and applied for a job, and they're like, "Yeah, midget. That's pretty weird."
And nary a lip piercing?
No lip piercings. Nothing. I mean, I just threw on a Ninja Turtle T-shirt, which I was wearing anyway, and then they're like, "Yeah, you're hired."
Fuck.
It was great.
That is good.
What girl? Did you guys do, like, I know in high school it's popular, like, go to the malls, right?
Yeah.
Like we did. Did you guys go to the promenade a lot living out there? Like, where was your high school hanging?
Yes, the promenade was a big deal, but a lot up until my parents were very strict, obviously, now you can understand for obvious reasons, and so I had parental supervision for a lot of it, and they would walk behind me a certain distance.
Wait, so they go to the promenade with you?
And walk behind me. And then my friends and I would like just literally
just
like
trying to ditch him or
like Penny Lane. No, because like they could find me. And my mom at a very young age had told me that when I got my driver's license, had low-jacked my car so she could always locate me.
That's a good move.
I just noticed these coasters.
Toasters, baby. Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. It's a gift.
Now, but like now that you look, yeah, he's taking pictures. Now he's doing the social media thing. But like when
don't look directly into the camera.
Too late.
Wait. So when did you then? Like, what was the first like home movie you made? Because
I made the same. I'm with my friend Schmidt and my friend Matt Dines. I made the same movie every weekend. On Friday, we'd make it with a mini DV Sony camera, and it was a kid's parents were out of town. He was going to have a crazy party, and. No one shows up for some reason, even though he invites everyone. The only person that shows up is a serial killer. And then the whole thing is, you know, we were using skateboards for dollies, and we'd put, you know, Discman headphones on the speakers of the Sony camera, and we sort of in-camera edited it. And we made the same movie every weekend.
What?
Well,
what?
You're trying to make it better every weekend,
yeah.
I guess.
It's
or was it like a
like
10-part series? Was it like...
No, there was no deviation except... It actually is kind of like a Buddhist thing, like in a way. Like we wouldn't rewatch the other one. Like
you wouldn't even go back and look at the.
No, we just kept going. It was actually very interesting. And then I made more stuff, but none of it was good. But I always knew that I could write stuff, whether it was good or not. I knew that I could generate pages.
Right, and this is the thing too. I think that like right, like, as a young filmmaker, and that they tell you. I don't know if they told you at USC Film School, but. Where you're just supposed to like just start making shit, right? And you think that's, I mean, now after going through USC Film School, do you feel like you did maybe you should have just. I've heard some from some people who go to film school and they're like, yeah, I learned some like other techniques, but like I probably could have just spent that 4 years also just continuing to make shit. But
yeah, the problem with USC is that I wasn't picked to make a thesis film. I was told my friend David Gelb, who's a great director who made Jiro Dreams of Sushi yeah. and Chef's Table. Neither of us were picked to make movies with actual people, human beings speaking in it, because we had too many tardies. We would like get really high and go and eat sushi every day, and it benefited for him
for sure,
not for me. And we were told we had too many tardies, and only four people actually get chosen. Mm-hmm. And so I left USC with like a black and white short with no one speaking, like a fucking.
Was this the one that I was in?
It wasn't even a talkie. No, that was not mine.
That was
the
DP. That was Julian's.
That was Julian's. Yeah. He was a great man.
Yeah.
And like.
So that was. That, I didn't this even is your
leave,
reel.
I didn't even. My reel. I didn't even leave USC Film School, the best film school in the country, with a talkie. Like, I didn't even have a talkie to my name. And so I was like, this is crazy that I don't have a talkie. And we had a black and white, like, performance acting sort of like insane thing.
Any subtitles? Like,
no, you weren't allowed to have, or maybe you were allowed to have subtitles, but it was crazy. And so I left, and my friend, who I write with a lot of the time, Matt Spicer, who's a great writer,
yeah.
And I were both like, dude, we left without a talkie. Like, what do we do? Like, no one's going to hire us. And we didn't want to get regular jobs, so we started writing because we felt like that would be the way to control our own destiny. So mm-hmm. we started, like, all my friends, you know, were traveling that summer, and Spicer and I, like, you know, did like an IV drip of Lexapro and just wrote.
How was that?
You like that leather jacket?
Thank you. I mean, you have no idea how hard it is to find an extra, extra small at Banana Republic.
How do you do it?
You ask a lot of questions. Some Jack Bauer type.
That's an extra,
intimidation.
Extra small?
Yeah.
Is it men's or women's?
I mean, first of all, how dare you? Secondly, men.
Well, I'm very small too. I wear.
Do you wear
J.
women's
Crew,
jackets?
I have.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wear J. Crew kids suits, which is a great. You know,
hell yeah,
yeah. See, it's amazing.
This is like tips for small people fashion right here. This is awesome.
This is a whole separate podcast you guys could host.
I've worn some of my mother's clothes before.
Okay, our guest has been Max Winkler, and we appreciate you stopping by. I know we said we go 90. No, you did it on. You say on purpose, or as like Halloween? Like, mom, can
no,
I?
No, she has some great jackets.
Hell yeah,
great jackets.
Yeah,
really beautiful. You know, jackets, but and some of them, the buttons are on the correct side.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Sometimes I'll walk into, like, you know, a J. Crew or a B. Repubs and think, oh, shit, like, is that for a man or a woman? I can't tell.
Right.
I just go.
I wasn't expecting any sort of follow-up from you. I just wanted to.
You guys can have those debates. I just walk in and say, what fits? And then whatever they bring out, I go, all right.
There's got to be a lot of great comfort in knowing that you just, like, there's. You're going to wear what they have.
I make shopping very quickly. Yeah, I just go in.
Where are your stores that you go to?
Where are my stores?
Or do you shop online?
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
No one's cornered the online dwarf clothing market?
The online dwarf clothing market needs to happen. Come on,
Why don't you do it?
5'4". You're 5'4 clothing. You're a sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah.
Have a dwarf line.
Why don't you do it?
You could make so much money.
Right?
He's actually right.
Do you know how many dwarfs there are in the United States?
One in every 36,000 births, and then... so you do the whole division. I could figure that out, but...
Roughly.
Yeah.
Is there over a million?
Not a million, no.
Over 500,000?
Yes.
500,000 people. Let's say that 300,000 of that 500,000 shop at your store and buy a $20 t-shirt, jacket, whatever.
Ching!
You've done it. Like,
yeah.
That's how we do it.
Okay. And then I could come up with...
You just found your director of marketing.
There you go.
I'm very interested in an exit strategy.
When this whole show business thing doesn't work out.
No, I think that's a smart business plan.
I like it. You know, I came here to do an entertaining podcast, and we are doing that. Plus, I'm getting a retirement plan. This is awesome.
It's not a bad idea. Well, you know, it's just like the NFL players. Like, you have to think post-career.
Sure.
You think you're going to be able to tell jokes forever?
God, I hope so.
Yeah, you are.
You are really funny.
Thank you, sir.
And handsome.
Well, hello. Trying.
Max, I feel like you are thoroughly responsible for me still doing stand-up.
Tell me why.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because when I met you at AAPI at USC... Okay, first of all, I met your father, Henry,
right.
Who was a this was a great like setup to building a friendship with you because I hadn't met you yet because you were it was father's son or no of parents weekend
right
and wait maybe I had met you yet and this is the first time I met maybe I hadn't met you I don't think I had
right
anyway he showed up and said I have laundry for Max
shocked
and he goes yeah I'm here to drop off some clothes for my son Max and I go oh great and he goes are you in the fraternity and I go yeah I am I live right upstairs he's like not important I have some clothes that I need to drop off for Max and he goes can I trust you and I go yeah 1000% and he goes can I trust you you're not gonna do some crazy fraternity you're not gonna shit on his clothes swear to God I go what he goes isn't that what you frat guys do you do weird you I go like Henry you have my word I will not shit on Max's clothes then when I deliver the clothes to you and he found out I didn't shit on him and I saw him again like at another fraternity function yeah. So pleased and impressed right. that I didn't shit on your clothes.
What you didn't know is he came to school that day in an ice cream truck.
But when we first met and had a strong comedy common bond, and I told you I was like dabbling in stand up. I might have even said I do stand up, which is what any young comic who's done it less
three
than five times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've done it at
a couple
frat parties, couple open mics. I'm like, oh yeah, man, yeah, yeah. I'm doing it. And we were, and I think I'd come back from London too, and was doing jokes. And you were asking me, you were like, "What kind of, material are you going to do overseas?" And I would pitch you some jokes, but you know, it's you have to have when you're starting out friends that, first of all, support through laughing at your actual shit, but then also being straight with you about like,
I thought you were the funniest. I truly do. I still do, but I remember being watching you do your stuff and truly. Knowing that you were going to continue to go do great stuff.
Well, I appreciate
that. You're so funny. And a great basketball player.
Thank you.
You're like such a... you jump so low. Like I always remember like you were great at three-pointers, yeah. But your feet barely left the ground.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
That's fucking... You could not be more spot
but
on with your
shot
analysis.
Was such a quick release.
Yeah.
And... You were really a hell of a vampire.
I love this. No, but like I remember we did. I stand up at one of our house parties.
Right.
And John Sadoff's band. This was like my first. By the way, I did 35 minutes. Hadn't performed
Insane.
Ever for longer than 5 minutes.
Insane.
And Sadoff's like, "Do you want to do time before?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do like 30.
What were your impressions?
Well, I remember I told this long story about Charlie Brown, in which I was acting on all the characters,
right.
And then the deaf teacher.
I don't remember that story.
Well, it wasn't a memorable bit, Max.
Well, you had a couple of imitations. You had a British guy that you did,
yep.
With a wig.
Oh, well, that's when I would come to the Rush, the lineups.
Right.
All right, so...
That was truly where you shine.
That was when I like, really was
for
like,
us,
dabbing in character work.
For us non-fraternity people, what's a lineup?
A lineup, basically, the brothers of the fraternity, well, when you're rushing the fraternity, there are nights when you have to... line up against the wall,
mm-hmm.
And the lights go off, and all the brothers haze you more or less verbally, I guess physically through shaving legs and maybe making you drink weird shit.
It really is bizarre,
so bizarre,
and so stupid, and insane, and dangerous.
Do you ever feel like you're in danger?
Yeah, we're like driving to Las Vegas with no sleep, and I like broke in to like the Bellagio like. Aquarium to steal a porcelain frog, and I didn't even like half of these guys. I liked three guys, and yeah. No one liked
that.
They were always like, "He's so proud," and I was just like, "I liked like Adam and the guys that I was doing it with." But like, I literally just remember like blackout looking at these guys like screaming and spitting in my face,
yeah.
And being like, "Do you love this place?" And being like, "Not really,
not really, man. You just shaved my back. I don't even know your name." Yeah, so I would come into these lineups, and this is why I think I maintain friendships with a lot of them. Is that I would come in, I dressed up as this like ex brother from Chino,
you were so funny
from
dude.
Chico, and I would because everybody, the actual brothers would come in and like yell at Max and be like. Like what? Like who are the founding fathers?
Yeah.
You'd be like, I don't fucking
who cares?
Dude, who cares? Who cares? What? How fucking dude? How dare you? And then like make you drink something and then yell at you. And these are guys, by the way, who are actually taking it out on like they're. It's coming from a real place.
And
right?
By the way,
sure.
These are also. This is a pack of Jews. Like this is like our one of our guys who was in our frat before was Paul Simon. Like it's not like the John Wayne frat was across the street.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like no one is intimidating.
Right.
Like, no one. Kind of the half Jew guy.
kind of,
like
the
no one
the half Jew guy.
No one is
calling the intimidator.
No one is deserves respect. Like, we are the bottom rung of men on the planet.
Were you in Joe Ginsburg in your class?
No, he was below me. He got, like, he bled for this. Like,
yeah.
He really...
Just in my head, I when you say, like, it's a pack of Jews, I just figure, like, a Woody Allen type character, just like, okay, so do you want to be in this fraternity? And you're like, eh, I'm good.
I mean, yeah, and then, like, and then put on the, like, facade of yelling at a bunch of
people
who are 2 years younger than you. So I would come in dressed as this, like, old ex-brother with his wig, and I would yell at these guys, but stupid shit. Like, I took a deer head. I remember holding it up to Joe Ginsburg, and I go, and I was like, how much do you love this fraternity? And he was like, I love it. And I go, say it sexier. He's like, I love it. Like, you know, stupid shit that they had to do. I got everybody chanting, I want beefaroni one night. Because you could. But stupid shit. I wasn't shaving them or making them drink
weird
shit.
How dare you say chanting, I love beefaroni is bad.
No, that, I mean, I should have been doing that more.
Yeah,
so I held up a deer head to Joe Ginsburg. And I held it in front of his face. And I said, who thinks they can have a staring contest with this deer head? And I'll never forget, like, nobody stepped forward. And people were laughing. And, like, you know, every time the brothers would laugh, I'd be like, brothers, please, this is fucking serious. And then I held the deer head up. And I go, who's stepping up for your brothers? And Joe Ginsburg stepped forward with the most dead serious face I've ever seen and was like, I'll beat the deer. And I was like, oh, dude, this is like.
Sounds like a euphemism for masturbation.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, and, it is.
And he stood for. He stepped
that's where
forward.
That's where the phrase comes, deer in the headlights. Because right when you come, you're just like, huh?
Nice,
right?
Yeah,
not bad.
No, wouldn't open with it at a Shabbat dinner. But what do you remember most about that experience? That you
just being like, "Why am I doing this? I don't like any of these." People.
Had you gone to college at USC with the mindset? Because it
no.
was, I fell into it. I was
me
not.
Too. Me too. I was like perfect. I was like a perfect sort of Charlie Manson victory. Like, I mean, a victim. Like, I'd gone. All my friends went to New York. I went to USC not knowing anybody. I was, like, kind of cool in high school and had good taste in music and movies, I think, and immediately got to USC and, like, was wearing, God forbid, Converse and, like, immediately called a fag the first day I got, like, there, like, by the SAE guys who would, like, wrestle in the mini baby swimming pool.
Yeah,
I remember, that's a good day.
I remember one of them calling me, like a fag, like, something. They were crazy.
Wait, so two guys wrestling together in a kid's pool and go, like, ah, look at that fag over there. Well, hold on, get down. I'm going to grab your ass.
I have no idea what these guys did. Like, these guys were gods. These guys, like, I rarely check Facebook, and when I do, like, there are these dudes who are just legends with just lined up deer heads, like, just, like, killed 55 deer babies. That's beating the deer. And these guys are animals. But I was a perfect sort of cult person because my mom had just gotten sick. She's okay now.
Good.
And I was just like, I went to go to the film school, and all my friends were in New York, and I had no friends.
Jesus, I didn't realize how out of your element you
I had no
felt.
Idea, and I didn't know what doing a frat was. So, like,
you just thought, oh, I'm going
to
make more
and
friends.
All these guys, like Eddie Brocco, were being so nice to me, and I thought it was so weird. Like,
because they didn't even know you.
First of all, I don't like anyone who's overly nice to me, because I immediately become distrusting and don't know why they would ever be nice to me.
Yeah.
And they were so nice, and they were like, so what are you into? Like, what's up? Like, you like the Dodgers? Like, let's go to a Dodger game. And I was like, this is so weird. And I didn't know the rules because, like, people from other fraternities were asking me to go to Dodger games. So I said yes. But, like, I didn't know that that was cheating. And I didn't know that, like, you had to be engaged to someone when they were talking. Like, Paul Tenen? Was that his name?
It's great. Paul Emmer?
No, Paul Emmer was kind of a god.
Yeah,
Paul, was the guy with the red.
I think
curly
Paul
hair.
Tenen. Yeah,
yeah. Like,
red,
I didn't know that. Like, if I looked away from him, like, that would ding me points. But I was like, I'm a 18-year-old kid in college. There's, like, girls with full plastic surgery walking down the street.
That was,
like,
new for me.
Yeah, it was crazy. USC's a crazy DL, and maybe not anymore, but very conservative.
Yeah,
Orange County, Newport, sort of like. Kind of Donald Trumpy kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure those dudes at SAE have Make America Great Again on their frat now.
Jesus,
I'm
probably,
sure.
They probably do.
And these dudes, these guys were legends. They, every single one of them, board shorts, rainbow sandals, and a fraternity event t-shirt, and they would ride their bikes to class.
Oh, well, that absolutely is the
and I was
Orange
just like,
County the Orange County uniform.
And part of me thought, sure. Like, oh my God, maybe I should be them. And I remember I detest flip-flops. I think men should be fine for wearing flip-flops. But again, it's this part of me that I guess back for the same kid that said he was that was a fucking lying cad. I wore rainbow sandals to Spanish class one day, and I felt so exposed and horrible.
Yeah.
But,
who made you feel that way?
Come in and you
myself.
See,
for how could you wear sandals to try to appease to these guys?
But you were doing it because you're like, all right, at some point I got to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And who wears shorts that often? Like, they wore shorts 365 days a year. Like,
I guess the weather is conducive to that,
but
also,
these
like,
guys are animals. Like, there's something very dangerous about these guys. These guys have.
But so what eventually got you? What eventually got you hooked to? You met a couple of nice dudes.
I met a guy named Simon who had a watch that I liked. Not that it was expensive or cool, but not that it was expensive or like hip. But I remember he was wearing like an Ashton Kutcher mesh hat, and he had like a watch that felt like, oh, this guy's kind of a human being.
Yeah,
like, I'll try to make him my friend. Yeah. And he ended up becoming one of my best friends.
Yeah,
and you know, like Fox.
We're talking about Tickman.
Yeah, it was the best. Yeah. Adam Fox had like a, you know, looked like he was just fresh off the boat from Tel Aviv. He had like just little jean shorts, Birkenstocks.
Little orange Abercrombie hat.
Every day. And a little fucking high necklace hanging above his fucking jet black chest hair. And I was just like, I'll make it work. And then these guys ended up, you know, are being my best buddy.
Isn't it crazy that if they weren't there, like, who knows if you would have stuck with it, maybe?
Who knows if I would have been... I certainly would have been in this room because we wouldn't have known each other, but I could be dead. Like, you don't know, like sliding doors.
I say you could have gotten the best of you, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, it's you definitely – it's so funny that people think that getting to college, like the whole trying to fit in thing stops at like high school. It's like college is almost like a heightened version of trying to figure – I mean, I'm showing up being like – oh, the shoes that I like, I'm a fag because, like, what? How does that?
Converse, and just like to use hateful sort of language to in public was so shocking. Like, I couldn't believe how free they were, and they were just, these guys are gods. I remember I went back recently because I spoke in the Leonard Maltin class.
Awesome.
Which was a highlight for me, obviously, because, you know, that was the class that was the great, you looked forward to it.
That Leonard class Maltin. Was what, they showed movies that weren't
before
out yet?
Before they came out.
And then somebody big, like Spielberg, I think,
came legends would come, you know what I mean? Like Curtis Hanson and Peter Berg and Jason Reitman, like great people. And
now Max Winkler.
Well, yeah, but so we ended up getting drunk after at the 2-9, which was great. And I walked into SAE pretending to be an undercover cop. And
like, Winkler's revenge.
They were not afraid of me for one sec. Like, if someone said undercover cop to me, even if I didn't do anything,
you just start second guess yourself.
Immediately.
Yeah, it's like when a cop gets behind you on the highway, you're like, I'm doing something
like
wrong.
Like, you're fleeing the Cossack.
Yeah.
Like, you run. And these guys literally were like, and can we please see your credentials? And I was just like, these guys are assassins. Like, these guys, I'm sure they've murdered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those guys, yeah.
I'm sure about it.
I mean, we had, you know, guys at our house whose dads were, like, running Kinko's and...
Who was Kinko's?
Eric Cusin.
Right. He was so humble. You never would have known.
No.
Wouldn't leave
his room.
You know
how I found out? Wouldn't leave his room. You know how I found out?
Gambling?
He loved the sports gamble.
All he did was gamble.
He would gamble a lot. I was running the Subway. He's like, 2-1, you're getting a tuna. I was like, all right, dude.
He's very humble, though.
Yeah, great dude. But I remember I was like, God, I need to make some copies. I go, does anybody know where I can go? He goes, go to my dad's place. I go, huh?
The little mom and pop shop on the corner.
Somebody goes, Cusin's dad, and he goes. I was like, where am I?
Wow. He doesn't seem that humble anymore. Who the fuck says that shit? He married a very beautiful girl, I think.
Did he?
Yeah. Or I always had a crush on his cousin, actually.
I do remember her.
Texan.
Or him?
No, she was a Texan.
Yeah, for sure.
Both of them look great. I mean, Eric's got a great body. Long.
You know what? Very long.
Big wingspan.
Yeah, high jumper.
Unlike you.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that back. What I remember, too, is at one point, do you remember when, because you went to high school with Jonah, right,
Hill?
And it was at one point you guys had developed a show for MTV.
It was actually for the Fuse Network.
For the Fuse Network.
MTV rejected us.
Mm-hmm. It was going to be called Max and Jonah's House.
Yeah, we were going to have sleepovers with people. It was kind of ahead of its time, and we had fun doing it.
1,000% it was ahead of its time.
Yeah. It was like, but we interviewed people. Our friends were in this band called Rooney, and so we interviewed them, and it was, you know, we had fun. And you know, there was like our friend Charlie McDowell, who's a great director too, helped us, and it was
going back to you going back to you being a bad kid. I read some interview you gave that you and Jonah Hill used to get kicked out of bar mitzvahs together.
Yeah, we were bad boys together.
What? How do you get kicked out of a bar mitzvah?
And now we're literally just the least fun.
So do you reminisce about these bad bar mitzvah days?
Yeah, I mean it was a troubling. I mean,
do you like knock over an ice sculpture? Like
no,
like,
we never
how do you
would hurt.
Out?
We would never hurt people. We were never bullies. Mm-hmm. We just like to burn shit.
Smoke weed.
Yeah, I did a lot of that. I mean, that was a huge part of my high school experience.
Yeah.
We would smoke weed, and one of the great things about my mom is that she frosted her mugs. And does that sound weird?
I love that. Are you kidding me?
That didn't sound sexual, did it?
No.
Okay. You gave me a weird look.
It was just frosted. Oh, man, had my third date with Angela, and guess what? She frosts her mugs. What?
She frosted the mugs in the home.
Put root beer in them.
And we'd put Diet Coke.
There you go.
That's cool. And we would eat bagel bites and watch like Freaks and Geeks and the Larry Sanders Show and stuff like that and be so high and eat bagel bites and frosty Diet Coke.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Uncool. The SAE guys weren't doing that. That's the problem.
No, they were mainlining heroin, but you know
they were watching the sorrow and the pity and high fiving what their grandparents did.
Did you get to go to some pretty epic bar mitzvahs? Because I've been to a few LA ones from you know, like not every Jewish family comes from wealth, but the ones that there are some special event bar mitzvahs that
you can say that every Jewish family comes from wealth.
Do they?
I'm just kidding.
They there's a lot, especially in LA. I've been to some that were like. So I'm curious, like living out here and probably knowing a lot of Jews and going to a lot of bar mitzvahs, you probably went to some pretty...
There was a legend named Eric Kasdan, and he was the first to do everything. He was just a god. He could dance.
Dunk, first to finger a chick.
Everything.
Yeah.
He was a god.
First to dunk and finger a chick at the same time.
He actually was very short and not a great basketball player, but fingered everyone. Everyone.
So you were half right.
And his bar mitzvah, if you had a good bar mitzvah or not was if you could get these DJs to come. Their names were Kaz. This guy's name was Kaz. And he had a guy named Tex and a guy named Too Sweet, and they would dance and they'd do choreographed dances. And they were the most, they were gorgeous men and beautiful girls, like the Fly Girls from,
In Living Color.
And Eric Kasdan, I remember his, I don't remember where it was, but I remember he was dating this beautiful girl named Katrina Sarkeesian, and they were fingering each other way before anybody.
Way before it was
way
trendy.
Way before anything. I mean, he legendarily like was having sex before he
there's
could ejaculate.
Always one.
I swear to God.
Before he like, even knew what that was.
Full sex. And he came out, he had a choreographed dance with them. I forgot what song it was to. Maybe No Diggity, because that was big.
Yep.
And he came out from the floor. He levitated from the floor with a white rose in his mouth, gave it to Katrina, and did a full choreographed dance incredibly well. I think he's actually literally a boxing promoter in Israel right now. He was a legend. And he had a train at his house.
What?
Yeah.
Like a Disneyland, like...
Kind of, like... Like it went through a tunnel, I remember.
Holy shit.
And
what is this kid?
We died. You know, and they had, you know, that station where you could put your hand in wax. That was very big. There was a surfboard that tried to kick you off. That was really big.
What do you remember thinking when he does this? Are you like, dude, you're ruining it for the rest of us, or I want to be you?
I want to be him. I want to get fingered like that.
Which is the debut of the name of your next album.
Yeah. I wanted to be him. I couldn't believe how cool he was. I'm not a very good dancer. He was so good at dancing. Like this looked like
he practiced this.
Oh my! Oh, weeks.
Now,
all for the girl.
This is something as a Gentile, I'm not sure I understand so much. But was it like when you guys would have these bar mitzvahs? Was it very competitive with each other? Like it was a game of like, can you top this? And like so some guy would have an ice sculpture, and it's like, oh yeah, I got dolphins or
maybe
something
like
that.
Maybe with the mothers.
The mothers. There's like a party competition element.
Right. I never was so engaged. I was having a hard enough time. With just actually getting through Hebrew school. Yeah, it was very hard for me.
Yeah, the Via Hafta. Dude, that took me a while.
I literally don't even know what that means.
Yeah, neither do I. But I know it's something I read, and I remember my rabbi patting me on the shoulder when I finished it.
Right.
I remember he whispered in my ear, I didn't think you were going to make it through.
Really?
That no, seems like an
what
odd
was
thing
your
to
rabbi's
say.
Name?
Rabbi Hirsch. Hmm. Sure. He looked like the, you know, the guy in The Simpsons, the short little guy with the glasses who's like, hey, fan,
hey, Mole Man.
Is that his name?
Yes. Mole Man in the morning.
Yeah, he looked like that guy.
Rabbi Hirsch. I had a really, you know, very legendary rabbi named Rabbi Rothblum.
Wait a minute, is that like the rock and roll guy that I've heard of?
No. Well, I don't know.
There's a rabbi I heard of that's in like in Brentwood that...
Well, he was in L.A. His name is Moshe Rothblum, and he was like a very serious man. He was like a real, like, venerated god.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, thought he was wise. Like, I liked what he had to say, even though I didn't connect so much to the religion always.
Right. You consider yourself very religious now?
I just had my second bris, so I would say yes.
Wow. Second bris, that's dedication.
Yeah.
Some people renew their vows.
What a bad joke.
You get a reclip. No, that's
I don't even get what it was. It wasn't even thought out. I don't know if I do or not. I think I like
family. I mean, you go to high holidays, the family.
Sometimes
the
it makes my dad happy, so yeah. I'll go with him. Mm-hmm. And my dad really gets into it. He goes crazy at those things.
He loves them.
Oh yeah. He just
what's his favorite holiday?
People. He loves...
Well, he's very social, and those high holiday services are like, it's like summer camp, you know, all over again.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And to see Henry Winkler at your high holidays is a very big deal.
It's a big deal. People lose their mind.
That's like, you know, One Direction. I mean, that's his... That's his demographic.
For sure.
Yeah, that's... They love it.
And you actually had to... You got to direct him in a short film.
In a short film, yeah.
Yeah, him and Jeffrey Tambor, right?
Yeah.
Is that intimidating when you're directing your dad?
No.
No, not at all?
He's so intimidating. Like, mm-hmm. like Adam is saying, it would be impossible for him to intimidate anyone. Mm-hmm. It was literally like having the Easter Bunny for a father.
Well, you used to tell me he used to videotape the rain.
Yeah, he would videotape the rain. He gave the dogs middle names. Like he's a true maniac. And so, so no, not intimidating.
Also, you grew up with him as dad and not.
Yeah.
But I mean, are you aware ever at like, you know, his stature and, you know, reputation and all that?
Totally. And I respect it. And I am, you know, totally proud of what he's done. And it's crazy. But it when you know him as a person, that's what is the true sign that he's such a great actor, is how unlike that particular character he actually is.
Like when you did the show with him, he was like, yeah, like I'm your actor in this. Like,
I mean, we were doing very illegal things. We were unpermitted and shooting in Central Park.
You got some amazing shots.
It was truly like the Fitzcarraldo or Hearts of Darkness of short filmmaking. I mean, it was so stupid. We basically got it because David Gelb and I co-directed it, and we didn't get picked to make a thesis film. And so we ended up writing – we took something we wrote in playwriting class, which was basically nonsense about a kid who's having a nervous breakdown and goes to live in Central Park and his parents and his therapist go get him. And
beautifully acted by Armin Weitzman.
Great, brilliant actor. Yeah. And we literally got a grant from Panavision. We're like, amazing. We're like, okay, great. We're going to use all this money and ship everything to New York and shoot in New York, which is insane. And we lost all of our money. And then we basically, with no idea what we were doing, we shot illegally and were like, people were arrested. And
yeah.
There was one night where we climbed the Belvedere Castle and there was like a guy with an axe running through Central Park, coming right towards us. And they were like, we need to go. I was like, not until we get this tag. And I remember my dad, like the scene was like kind of my dad like really brought it once again, started crying like hysterically on camera. And
he's looking right into the camera, a la Max, just to pay homage.
It was very, it was very like.
So he's bringing it.
He brought it, and the camera like didn't work. And there was like someone, like our producer was like an NYU kid, and we were USC kids, and there was like beef, and like he was like, "We need to go. There's a man with an axe." I was like, "Not until we get my dad."
He's doing?
And needless to say, it was like a 30-minute short that is insane to make a 30-minute short, and. I literally thought that at the time that it was going to be the first short film ever released theatrically. I'm like,
you have to have that delusion.
Yeah, you have so much confidence. And when you say film illegally, I watched a little bit of it, and like, there's scenes where your kid is up in a statue. Like,
yeah, it was all illegal.
Yeah, like that. Like, you weren't doing permits. Like, you climbed up the statue and just said, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the confidence of youth.
and that same confidence.
I permit everything right now.
Yeah,
I permitted my parking spot.
But it's like that same confidence, then once it was done, that makes you go, well, it's totally going to go in, yeah. in years.
Just a false sense of deity, godlike perception that you have when you're high all the time and in film school and watching Darren Aronofsky movies.
Do you think that's another thing, too, that young filmmakers need to have, like that guerrilla mentality of just like, we got to get it done?
I think it's the best way to get anything done. Like, I think settling is probably where things are. You go back and you kind of wish you just, mm-hmm. but you got to be safe, obviously, and not crazy. But I've always benefited from probably, you know, trying to get everything you can out of a location or a moment. Or
now, what did you learn from the short that you had me in with Julian that you brought to King of Central Park? And by the way, let's talk about that real quick.
That was incredible. Very dark.
My first, like, real act, like, you know, I'd done a few other things, but, like, this was, you know, a legit film school where we shot, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weekends. There was a whole story.
You were great. And it was a 310, which is one of those black and white short films. And I was the DP of that. And Julian Mayohas, who had a very dark sensibility.
I was, like, in a hospital bed.
You were in, like, a sleep center. And you end up killing your wife.
Yeah.
There was one great sort of like, I just seen Children of Men. So there was like, I was like obsessed with like no coverage and doing everything in long takes. And we did one take through that back. I remember we shot at my friend's house and they were very upset. We really messed things up. But you were great. And you were also great. I did a scene. I was in this class where you have to take scenes that have already been made and
Bottle
reenact
Rocket.
Them. Yes, mm-hmm. And Eternal Sunshine.
The Eternal Sunshine one with Casey.
And you were great in the Eternal Sunshine one.
That was awesome.
The Bottle Rocket one I shot badly because they all had to be one take. Right. I did that bad, so you suffered. But Eternal Sunshine, I got like a great guy to shoot it, and you were so good in it. It's so much easier to do drama. Like,
I was going to ask you, because you've done comedies, you've done dramas, and you say it's way easier to
dramas, but for an actor, I think, especially if you're naturally funny, I think a lot of people who are funny, there's other stuff going on, usually some
sure.
as you know, the demons are right there on your shoulder, and so for, you know, if the Adam was saying lines written by like one of the great screenwriters alive, Charlie Kaufman, so like you need to do very little if there's, you know, a life going on in mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, and because I mean, and then you've done big time comedies, like you did a couple episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and New Girl.
Sure,
is that like now when you came to both those shows, they were all sort of they were already kind of gelled as a cast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a very lucky job to have is to be a TV to do that job, is,
right?
Because they're finally, you know, Liz Merriweather is my friend who does New Girl, and at the time I think I'd done more episodes of those than anyone. And we did so many, and she knows exactly what she wants, and you're just there to
and those cast members, they know kind of are
they're great.
They
all know. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I was friends with Andy before, and everyone knows what they're doing.
But you're not there to like. And I will repeat advice your father gave me when I did my first TV job ever, when I booked a guest star on According to Jim in 2007. Drink 5 if you're playing
that.
Does Adam bring up his first credit?
That. Were you pizza guy?
Water delivery guy.
Water guy. I remember it well. We watched it. Yeah. I was proud of you.
Love you. But I called Henry and I was like, you know, obviously you know something about multicams. I was like, any advice? And he left me his voicemail. I wish I had it saved because it was, again, just quintessential, sweet, supportive, funny, cut off abruptly where he was like, Adam, this is Henry. He goes, congrats on the job. I'm literally pulling into the CBS lot, by the way, after the security guard found 3 puppets in my trunk and was like, you single? And I was like, this is exactly what I need before my tape day. And so I'm pulling in and he goes, this is Henry. He goes, congrats on the job. He goes, you're going to be great. He goes, they hired Adam Ray because they love Adam Ray. Don't be there to fill space. Treat Mr. Belushi like an emperor. If you think of something funny, say it, suggest it, bring it. All the best. So find myself in a moment where they're rewriting lines on the fly as they do in sitcoms. And I'm standing on the outskirts, and they're all like producers, writers, Belushi. They're like, what about this? What about this? And I think of something, and I go, and I hear Henry's voice go, say it. And I literally jump in, and I go, or I could say this. And everybody looks at me and goes,
You animal.
What the fuck? What? Hey, man.
Do you remember what you said?
Dude, it was like, it was for my last line, and it was like, because Jim Belushi like comes out, and remember, he sees flowers, or he sees flowers, and he like breaks them. Oh, somebody get... I don't remember.
Some classic Jim.
It wasn't good.
Some classic Jim Belushi.
Some classic Jim Belushi. Some classic Belushi business, and sure. I
the
said
stuff
some...
we all know. And
my mom used to tell people, she's like, "Adam's on the John Belushi show."
Yeah,
the life that Jim does. Well, that's not the show at all, Mom.
But like, yeah. So the same way you have that kind of confidence. Does that help you when you're a 27-year-old directing your first sort of major motion picture? Not you know,
depending
ceremony.
On the word major.
Yeah,
major
for us. We've
how
never
do you go
done
from directing Adam Ray to Uma Thurman? I think is what he's trying to ask.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just writing. You got to write the shit. You got to write it. You know what I mean? Like
writing
that,
your own stuff certainly
so
does help.
Writing is so much harder. Writing mm-hmm. is the worst. It's so.
What's your
hard.
Process like?
Every like true banker's hours start at 10, end at 5.
Mm-hmm. You have to take breaks, right, to let your brain rest.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. You know, I write with it depends. It's so hard. It's never. I've never been one of those people that like I just sat down and like
yeah.
came out. Like I like my first draft is literally like hieroglyphics. Like
so, you don't try to edit yourself. You just
no. Yeah, it depends on who I'm writing with, but.
I don't know how people... I have so much respect for writers now because, sure, back when before we had DVRs, you'd say, all right, I'm going to write from 9 to 3, and the only TV I'm going to miss is, like, daytime talk shows. All right, I'm good. But now it's like there's so many outside distractions between the phone and all the available entertainment content. I have so much respect for people that
so
can that can just sit down and have the discipline to write that.
It feels a little dark. Like, I would feel a little dark watching, like, Peaky Blinders at, like, 3 p.m. on a Monday. Like, the binge watching's never been what's called me. I feel like it, what's hard is it just sucks, and it's tiring, and then you're complaining all the time, and everyone's like, oh, it's so hard, like, you're writing. Like, I'm like, no, it sucks. Obviously, like, I'm, like, half a man, and, like, I don't use my hands to, like, lift rocks, like, and I feel insecure about the way I look, but, like, it is tiring, and it, like... tire some part of your brain,
yeah,
and mm-hmm. and it's hard
because you're thinking about. I mean, how many things are you thinking about when you first sit down? You have like an initial idea, like for ceremony, like what is the like what do you think of first? And how are you thinking of characters, dialogue?
Sometimes you like a character first. Sometimes you fall in love with a scene first. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're
a title.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's like so hard. It's always different and weird. Like I've never. All I know is that if I can't like wait till I get inspired, so I always just treat it like a day job. So
you just start writing, and then hopefully, like,
yeah. Well, I'll know what I'm gonna write like yeah. before. Like we'll have an idea, or you know, sometimes like you know, we'll have a you know, we'll have to write something for a deadline because of some job that we have. But
and how helpful is that to have like somebody to bounce off of?
Great.
Yeah.
And writing by yourself is truly like I wouldn't worship it on I wouldn't I wouldn't I wouldn't force it on
yeah.
anyone. It's really bleak and
you used to
sad.
Though, right?
What'd I do?
Write by yourself.
Well, I wrote the ceremony by myself, but I had you know, these guys that I could send it to and you know, the next movies that I'm gonna make I didn't write by myself, and I really respect that.
Ceremony is about a younger guy who tries to stop the wedding of his ex-girl, who is older. Was that drawn on any personal experiences or anything like that?
Yeah, I was genuinely sort of like in love with this woman who was married, and like she was the best, and I genuinely wanted her to not be married anymore.
It's such a great story, and like... uncomfortably relatable, I think, to a lot of people.
Yeah. I think it's, like, about, like, I think what it was about is, like, that age. I made it when I was so young, and I think I was, like, right after that period where, like, everyone reads these books and is like, oh, my God, like I'm Zooey Glass. Like, that's who I am. Like, I'm Anne-Marie Blaine. Like, you read these books, and you're like, oh, my God, like, that J.D. Salinger was talking to me. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the promenade and everyone's walking around with that same book and you're like, oh right, like I'm a fraud, like I'm like literally everyone has felt these things before, like we're all just
well, I mean it's
animals.
A, yeah, I mean it's
wearing
the universal
clothes.
Experience.
We're
yeah.
literally
yeah.
like bears wearing clothes.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, I wasn't going to the promenade a lot at that time. I don't know why I said it.
But when you're 27 years old and you're saying action for the first time and you're looking at all these people surrounding you on a set, is that intimidating at all that you're essentially in charge of all this?
No, actually, it's you just hire the right people and there's such smart people out there that are that you're just smart about it
and you knew what you wanted. So
yeah, I think that's the only thing is just to know what you want, and I think sort of people will go. And
but that does happen on sets, right, where there's can be conflict of interest with people that are hired that are like, all right, cool, man, like I know you see it that way, but like directors, writers, I hear that can be
totally it's a bizarre minefield of personalities and really talented human beings. And
like, what if the director of Hook and the like saw that whole imagine the food scene, he was like, I mean, I want them to like believe the food being there, but it's not actually going to show up later. We're going to have a guy fly down, like Tinkerbell will she'll meet some guy, and he'll be the one who brings all the feast. That would have been a completely different movie.
You think Thud said, and actually, Steven, I have an idea. Everyone, hold on for a second. Thud, come here, son. wait a second. What's that? You think the food should be neon colors of whipped cream, and that it should actually... Guys, we're going to go with something different.
That shit was unbelievable, by the way.
It's a great movie. I'm trying to think of the other ones I used to watch. I mean, I guess I said it. But
do you think people ever, they'll fight Spielberg on anything? Do you think you get to a certain status, directing-wise, that you've observed or that you...
No, I think it's always hard.
It's got to be collaborative always?
I think it's always hard. I think that's why even, like, the directors who are at the highest point of the mountain are always, I think, for the most part, normal and hardworking, because it's just always hard. Like, it's just like, Stanley Kubrick always said this great line that I'm obsessed with. He always said the hardest part of directing is getting out of the van in the morning. Like, I don't know anyone who, like, has to direct and is like, this is easy or this is fun or this, like, it is, there's so much anxiety into pretending like you know what you're doing. And so much of it is just like, no one knows all of those answers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And everyone thinks that what their question is the most important question in the world, which to them it is at that moment, whether it's makeup, hair, wardrobe, special effects, and trying to, like someone said, like try to limit your question intake on a day and try to just say like, I'll get back to you later, rather than making sort of a rash decision just to get through the conversation. It was pretty smart, I thought.
Yeah.
And are like, when you're sitting in that director's chair, do people bring you questions like, all right, what the props guy has like four different glasses for this dinner scene, like which one?
Yeah,
and like you have to decide that, which is strange. Do you just say fuck it?
I always kind of have an idea, especially if you've written it. That's why I always like writing the stuff that I direct, because you really do know the majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's always easier to know everything when you're going into it.
I mean, didn't you have any moments on set where sort of a established actor or crew member came to you with a suggestion and you had to kind of fight them and say, actually, no, I really think it would be better my way?
I'll take, if anyone's got a good idea, I'll take it from anybody.
Like, sure.
We're all just trying to make it through. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, like sometimes, you know, if you're doing a comedy or something, people like to come and pitch jokes, and sometimes jokes are great and you take them, and sometimes they're not, and you're like, that's great. Yeah. Let me try to figure that out. And you sort of shuffle away. And,
yeah. I'm always amazed that any comedy movie is good because of all the other variables that have to go there besides just the writing and performance. Like stand up to me, like people say, stand up's hard. I'm like, no, making a comedy movie is hard. Stand up, it's just a microphone and you, and you're having a conversation with the audience. Like when you're making a movie, you have to know which perspective, like which camera angle is going to be the funniest camera angle, when the take and the timing and how you're making it, you're constantly stop and go. So I'm always amazed that any comedy movie
gets
made.
It's crazy that anything is good.
Yeah.
It's insane. I don't understand it. Like when I see something that was good, like I saw that Cloverfield movie the other day and I was just like, holy shit, this is just good. Like it's just good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it was just good. And I just couldn't believe it. It was like a rarity. I felt like I was like in like, I feel like I was in like 2001, like staring at the obelisk. Like I was just like, what the fuck? Like it's so good.
Yeah.
It's like anything good is crazy.
Why is that? Is it just because we're oversaturated with content that it's like there's so much, there's more bad than good?
There's not a lot of movies that get made now that are not like tiny sort of movies, you know what I mean? Unless it's a big movie, you know what I mean? Like it's just as weird. Like this sort of genre of movie, which is sort of like the middle budget range movie, is sort of disappearing a little bit.
Sure. And it's like your art house films, or it's the sequel sl/ superhero / whatever movie that the studios are making.
Right, and art house movies now are, it used to be like, when I made Ceremony, art house movies cost $3 million. $3 million, that movie's now like a dinosaur now. Uh-huh. And like, you can make movies for under $1 million.
Sure.
Or you can make like pre-sale movies that you sell in Bulgaria with like, you know, certain people that sell really well in Bulgaria, and you can get like $8 million for those, but those don't really come out here.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, you know, there's a huge sort of reinsurgence of sort of my contemporaries and stuff who are you know, doing like big sort of reboots or superheroes and mm-hmm. stuff.
How do you
like
feel
that.
About that?
I don't. I would really you do? An, would I don't you? Really have an opinion on
yeah.
it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I would do it. If I loved a character, I'd be into it.
Yeah.
But
or if there's an actor maybe that you want to work with, because there's probably. I feel like, right, all directors have like I want to, like, for me, acting wise, I'd love to act with Tom Hanks. I'd love right. to act with Danny Glover. I'd love right. to act with Rick Moranis and Danny Glover.
Right.
At the same time.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of those guys doing one of these. Like, I can't imagine, like, if Philip Seymour Hoffman was alive, that he would be like,
I want to work with Danny Glover.
I'm going to do The Flash. No, I'm saying, yeah. like, for me, like,
that's your guy.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with him.
Me too.
I've been watching a lot of his stuff. And what that was so amazing about Philip Seymour Hoffman is like, there was, and I think this is something that one of my friends are starting acting, which I try to always tell him, is there was no part that was too small for him.
Yep.
He had three lines and you remembered him every single time. He never phoned it in once.
He was just as brilliant in Along Came Polly as he was in Savages. Exactly.
You're right.
Just as brilliant.
Yeah. And look at his character in like Boogie Nights. That character could have been
the best.
Easily forgotten.
But think about Son of a Woman. Think about Talented Mr. Ripley. Like everything he did, and I just. I can't
what was that political one with Clooney and
the original title was Farragut North, and then it was called Ides of March.
Yeah,
he's good in everything. He's never been bad. I've never seen him phone it in once in my life.
So he would have been at the top of the list.
Yeah, I loved him. I loved James Gandolfini. He's one of my favorite actors of all time.
So basically, if you die, you're on Max Winkler's dream list.
Yeah, you get right up there. You jump.
What about in the lady department?
Favorite actresses?
Yeah.
I think Kristen Wiig is a genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with Cate Blanchett.
Dude, me too.
I have like a real serious crush on her.
Yeah. After finding Neverland, I was like, boy, I hope she frosts her mugs because...
Everybody knows Kate Frost her mugs.
Is that extra reported?
It's old Aussie lore.
Can you imagine Mario Lopez on Extra? Like,
extra.
Does Kate Blanchett frost her mugs? Our rumor patrol is on it. This rumor is true. She does frost her mugs. Oh.
I mean, I'd love to work with Mario.
Who wouldn't?
You said that like I have a hand in that.
I'd love to finally see what he's all about.
What said nobody ever. Would you?
I'd love someone to hand me the keys to the Mario Mobile and just.
Oh God! I
take it for a spin.
I hope that's what he says to a girl right as he lets her into his car. Like, you ready to take a ride in the Mario Mobile?
And then he turns on Billy Ocean's "Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car." What Saved by the Bell cast member though would you direct first if given the option?
Oh, tough question.
Is Screech doing a?
He's out,
adult film.
He's out on bail.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah. He's an option. But I mean, keep in mind, you also have Dennis Haskins, but you also have the guy who played his brother who was going to take everyone on the river rafting trip.
You also have Ed Alonso, who was the Max.
Yeah.
Right. I liked...
You've got every character at your disposal.
What was her name? Kelly?
Kelly Kapowski?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
No.
Jesse.
Yeah. No. I mean, Elizabeth Berkley, we just wrote a scene with Elizabeth Berkley. Elizabeth Berkley in the movie Showgirls...
It's phenomenal.
He has sex in a pool in a way that I've never seen in all of my.
Not even your boy Kasdan did it.
Maybe Eric Kasdan. I've never seen anyone have sex in my life the way Elizabeth Berkley and Kyle MacLachlan have sex in a pool. It is. Almost,
I forget what is it. What's so
watch it.
She's flopping around like. Okay, if a dead fish was doing ballet. Like, she's, like, flopping around, but it's, like, artful.
It's unbelievable.
It's awesome. And it's sexy.
It's a great,
yes. It's one of the best scenes ever.
Can't remember.
I always had,
it's right up there with Phoebe Cates and Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I always felt distance from it because it felt more like she was having a seizure.
You couldn't get turned on.
It was
on
almost
by that.
If
so you weren't getting a boner. You're like, bite down on something, Elizabeth, please.
It was like an epileptic dolphin.
I hear they're playing Coachella next year.
She was great.
Epileptic dolphins, awesome.
They're great.
They're solid.
They're old stuff. Not
oh yeah, yeah. Everyone knows you don't go
when they open for Hootie.
I loved Hootie. Fifth grade was a magical year for music.
It really was. Who was the first band that made Max go, well, that seems like a fun...
Nirvana. I was obsessed with Nirvana.
No shit.
Obsessed. And mm-hmm. At a very young age, I think the first single I bought was Losing My Religion by...
R.E.M.
Yeah, I bought a cassette single of that, and I think Sir Mix-a-Lot.
For sure.
And it was, you know...
Karaoke classics.
That was... It was a time.
What a great time.
And the Blowfish was great, and their music videos were very innovative.
They were.
Dan Marino appeared in them.
Come on.
They were very early on the South Carolina Gamecock trend. Do you remember that? They were like obsessed with South Carolina
Gamecocks.
Oh, yeah. I actually have seen something in this apartment that has totally shifted my...
What'd you see?
What's that? Okay.
I can't wait for this.
And of all the things in this apartment...
Oh, my God.
What is he getting?
You must have been a part... I found the Shorecrest High School Adam Gray Varsity Basketball Most Inspirational, which makes me think your basketball team must have been really good, because what this tells me is that you were garbage. Because I used to get Most Inspirational.
Yeah, and so did I.
Well, let me tell you where I got that on.
And now I think that you played with, like, the greats.
Let me tell you where that award comes from. And I'm glad that you picked that up. And I'm glad that you
didn't... Most Inspirational trophy.
Because I thought you were terrific.
Yeah, they should give that to somebody like Brad. So what...
How
you're defensive.
Dare you?
No, here's why I got that award.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth grade, probably peaked, right? Tall kid, played the post, had a great three-point shot. Get to JV, playing a lot, right? So 20 points a game, a lot of threes. I'm an active member of the team.
Right.
Varsity, this was my junior year. So the seniors, they had a tight squad. So there were a lot of guys playing. So I went in for hustle minutes.
Right.
Because the guys who were in my position, there were two twins who were Indian, and they shot the three a little bit better than I did.
What were
and
their names?
Amit Nakash.
That was
that
first or
was that
both
one,
their first names?
Was yeah, that one name or two?
Amit and Akash Naran.
Oh, and
they
Akash.
Ripped it
Are
up.
Are you Facebook friends with them?
I'm real friends with them.
Really?
Yeah. There went to both their weddings.
Real friends is below Facebook friends, though. It goes real friends and Facebook.
God, it's so sad it is, right?
Yeah.
Where does MySpace friend sit on that list?
The closest.
Yeah. Because if you're still active. Because
you can put them in a top. Facebook doesn't have the top 8 or top 40.
Yeah, closest. And then if you're LinkedIn, you're basically married.
I got a LinkedIn request a couple days ago.
From who?
Do you really want to say on this podcast?
Yeah.
Your buddy Kasdan.
Oh. He, I mean, it would be in...
That would be a treat. That's the one request from LinkedIn I would actually accept.
He was a god.
He probably had his own social networking site.
No, this was pre-social network. I mean, this was eighth grade.
For sure, but I'm saying he had it figured out.
Yeah.
If you said he came before he knew what coming was...
He had sex before he could ejaculate. Like,
dude,
how do you do that? Like, he was fucking in sixth grade.
I think
beautiful girls and had the perfect.
How much older were the girls?
Perfect middle part hair, like just like down to his chin.
I think when you have an obituary,
photos of this guy.
Yeah, when you have an obituary, that's what you put on there. Was coming before I could ejaculate.
Well, not after I have my most inspirational plaque held above. So anyway, so I came in for hustle minutes because there was limited time for me on this roster. So coach put me in for rebounds, for hustle, for D, and the occasional three. But guess what? We had so many other shooters that when I shot, he screamed so hard at me.
Right.
And then I got hard, coincidentally. And then
he loved you for your D.
He did.
I was slow clap that joke.
I was slow clap that.
That was pretty good.
But yeah, so that's.
So did you not get an award for senior year?
No, I did.
What was that?
Offensive.
Oh, great. Okay, so. Yeah. Okay, I'm just checking.
Because then I was, you know, starting on that team. This one, it was like off the bench.
Right.
When I was lucky to get PT because there were so many.
Were you guys good?
We were great our senior year. This year, we were, you know. The coach.
It's hard to put it all together sometimes. Sometimes you practice well and the game time comes.
For sure.
Just...
Well, that's
a very big trophy. But that says 2013.
Well, that's a third place Comedy Basketball Rec League trophy right, that somebody was going to break.
But the seal of Los Angeles is on there.
What?
Look at the seal.
Wow. I didn't know that you still had your high school trophies, Adam. That's awesome.
Well, I took that. It's next to my USC school theater one. And I took them out of my room because I was like, I need to put these somewhere. And then what I'll do sometimes is I'll take stuff out of my room and I'll set it somewhere. And I go, I'll get to that later.
Right.
But conveniently, I did put them in the corner next to the guitar. So if you were a chick, hopefully that would be the corner that would put it all together. Oh, what's this? A guitar? Do you play? Oh, what's this? Most inspirational? Oh, what's this? A college degree?
I think you put the most inspirational trophy by the guitar, and that's your closer.
For sure.
Right there.
Not if they know what most inspirational player stands for.
Yeah, because I mean,
not if they went to my high school.
Did you get any awards?
I would get most inspirational.
Yeah.
Or the coach's award.
Yeah, now that does say. So you were on a team of.
My soccer team was very good.
That was your sport.
There were some real players, yeah.
Anybody go pro?
No, we had this one kid who was kind of the ringer named Trini, who was incredible, but he was like a sort of like an athlete for hire, kind of like he was like he never talked to any of us, and like he would score the most insane goals and never talk to us on the bus. And then I remember we lost to Malibu High School in the finale, in the semifinals for state or CIF or whatever it was. And Trini was eaten up over it. He was hysterically crying and hugging us all. And that was so weird.
First time you saw emotion from Trini.
First time I saw eye contact from Trini. And he was so beat up about that.
Sports
kills me.
Can make us or ruin us.
Still.
Are you glad you don't play anymore?
I mean, I would rather be a professional sports player than what I do.
Are you pumped the Rams are coming here?
Yeah, I think I'm going to like them. I hope they go back to their old colors, though.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the yellow and bright blue.
Yeah, I like
that.
And
not that. Like that, and not like that gold. Like
I like that.
Hey, as long as they keep the song they had in the 80s, which was Ram It.
Right. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
What?
They have, and there was a time in the 80s when if you were a good professional sports team, you had to have a music video.
Right.
The Bears had the Super Bowl Shuffle, and the Rams had Ram It.
Where are you from?
I'm from Orange County.
Where'd you go to high school?
Sunny Hills High School.
No way.
So yeah, I was a Lancer, and which is
yes, you were.
Which sounds like a gay slang.
You
like,
still are.
Oh, he's a Lancer.
Yeah, like he's that just sounds Lance something. Too. He's one of Lance's.
Yeah. So
there's worse things to be, my friend. There's nothing wrong with being a Lancer.
I mean, I'm very proud.
Who can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Who do you think is listening to this? Like, what's your base
big,
like?
We got a big viewership, man.
But so, is it viewership or auditory ship?
Probably what you said. Viewership. Like, I mean,
so what's the vibe? Like, who are we talking to right now?
Well, we've a lot of comedy fans,
right.
A lot of young comics,
great.
A lot of people who. I mean, I think with each guest, we pick up new. You know, when Melissa McCarthy came on, we picked up some MC fans.
The best. Is she the best?
The coolest.
I love her. She's actually somebody that I.
Oh, you
I
and her would die for. Destroy yeah. comedy,
but she's so
in a positive way
funny, and she can also do drama. Like I cried in the Heat.
Yeah.
Like, I cry. Like, yeah. When she gets the little award and does a little dance.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because I blew up at the end.
No, because your
hey,
hair
was... Hey, spoiler alert. I still haven't seen it. What?
You had such straight hair in that movie. Yeah.
I looked terrible.
You looked like Melissa you looked like a bad guy in Carlito's Way.
I tried to do an accent.
You were great.
Well,
you were great. Buddy. And I was so proud of you. But
I love you.
I love her.
She, I mean, St. Vincent's, obviously. But even in, like, I mean... Shit, man.
Everything. She's real.
Even in This Is 40. It's like she, again, she's got Philip Seymour Hoffman qualities.
She's an inability to be inauthentic. She's just.
You guys should meet up. How do you make that happen? Can we make that happen?
Is there any chance she's listening?
Sure.
Maybe.
I think you're the best. I love her. I think she's very pretty.
Melissa, can you come and be in Max's remake of the LA Rams Ram It?
Well,
music video.
I'd just like to be her friend.
I mean,
I love her.
Yeah.
Were you in Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
God, you're the best. I love Paul Feig. He makes great movies, too.
Yeah.
I loved Spy. Loved.
Was great.
I laughed uproariously.
Right?
And I never laugh.
Wow.
I like Jason Statham was incredible.
Yeah. And but again, like such a hard comedy, but like she was so
amazing.
You gotta she had to be that great to like make
that story. Beyond Jason Statham at the end saying he wants to go for like a ride in the boat to gather his thoughts to go to sea, and everyone's like,
yeah, you know, we're going around a boat. Yeah. So that's what I'm gonna do. Like, God to fail.
Does she know it's a lake?
Hey. Don't judge me. I'll find a fucking way to that sea.
Very good.
That's a good statement.
This is just one of the three impressions I got.
It's very good. What are the other two?
The other two are Michael Caine.
Good.
I can do a Michael Caine impression.
I've heard better.
Of course you have.
There's a couple of famous other guys who do it. Well,
sure. When you're going against Dana Carvey.
And Michael Caine is the other one.
And Michael Caine does a great Michael right. Caine. Everyone knows that.
And then the other one is one I'm just working on right now. It's Patrick Warburton.
That's I like.
That's right.
I think Patrick would be happy to know that people are out there doing Warburton.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to keep his memory alive. Is he dead?
Nope. Very much alive.
Not Burton's dead.
He's still right. Killing it.
He's got a talent holding deal at ABC.
Well, he will be eventually.
Does he?
No, I don't know.
That's right.
He should. He's great. Should. Very sure. good.
Peter, I don't have use of my legs.
He's good, man.
Brad's got a lot of skills.
I got three. I got three impressions, and then I could pull up music videos really fast on YouTube. That's pretty much the extent
Stick
of my talent.
Stick with those three.
Okay.
You're the best. You guys both
You're the best.
Is this over? No.
We're about there.
We did an hour and a half.
You mm-hmm. 90, baby.
Yeah.
Flew by, right?
Is there anything else great to just cover?
I mean, you want to talk about a little Shanley if you want to. Hey. Brad
How'd you bring that up so fast?
I told you it's one of my talents.
Is this Ram It?
This is Ram It.
Okay. Can we see the video? Those colors are great. So are those the real Rams? How is Max's, this not...
Max's face looks like he's seeing Two Girls, One Cup for the first time.
I kind of am. This might be more upsetting.
What?
Dickerson?
Yeah. Eric Dickerson's in Ram It.
I've got a Todd Gurley on my fantasy football team, so I'm very excited to have him.
Yeah, now. And now he's going to be back in L.A.
I'm keeping him Big Bad Jackie. This is shocking. What a different time.
If they don't play this before every home game,
come on.
How has Deadspin not done this yet?
Ram It?
Yeah.
It's the best.
I know.
Brad, you are the king of shit I don't know about.
Well, someone's got to have a good Ram It reference on this podcast. Yeah, this is back when every player rapped.
I'm sorry.
Players are too cool these days. I don't think you can get them to do this.
Yeah.
Unless they're getting paid.
It's like Ron Artest and that's it.
You know who you should have on the show who's doing great?
Who?
Is Ryan Khalil.
Oh, there was the center.
Yeah, and he's producing movies now, and he's very smart and funny.
It's a great idea. Just,
and a USC connection.
Yeah.
He's so smart.
You put me in touch with him?
Yeah, I'll send a group text.
Perfect.
I'll hide the most inspirational player thing so he doesn't judge you. Can I ask one question?
I'm judging myself.
Can I ask one question before we
The candles?
Where were you when you bought this candle?
What does it say?
What it says, Revere House and Ocean Breeze. Like, did you see that? And you were like, this is my question.
And this is going to be a completely valid question.
Is it going to be cut from the interview? That's my question.
Hell
fuck no.
Okay, so here's my question. Did you decide you needed a candle for your house first? Or were you walking one day in the bodega and you were like, this is interesting. I'm going to take a smell. This smells really fucking good. I want my house to smell like this.
Like
Revere
what?
House Ocean Breeze candle. And then so what, chicken or the egg? The age-old Adam candle question.
Great question. I will answer this the same way I answer questions about the way I buy deodorant. When I bought Old Spice Wolfthorn, I didn't say to myself, all right, I need to smell like a wolf that might have gotten a giant splinter.
Did you used to dress up as Wolverine at Universal?
Maybe.
Right. Have you guys talked about it already?
Quite a few times.
I mean, a handful of times.
You are a true
That
legend.
Was my day job after it. Acting school,
I
Max.
Remember it. You worked, but you did it.
I did it, man. I had to.
You did it. You worked so hard. You literally just...
You're one of the handful of people from out here that has, like you know, seen me from, I mean, from the A-Pie frat house, bombing before a band, but sticking with it and doing 35 minutes at a frat party.
Who does 35 minutes?
When people are talking. Do you remember one point I said, shut up, everybody? And then a drunk girl heckled me, and then I, like, said something really inappropriate, and people laughed at that. And
but
then
you were Wolverine. I remember. Like,
yeah.
You really did it.
I mean, should you have that poster up right next to the poster of the Heat? Like, yeah, sure, I was in the Heat, but I was also Wolverine.
Not a bad idea. I should have that next to my most inspirational plaque.
How long were you doing Ghostbusters for?
2 weeks. In Boston.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, buddy.
You're so good. You really are great. Well, we both are. This podcast, thanks for having me.
Max, this has been awesome. And I want to talk about some upcoming... But maybe you can come back.
We'll do that when I'm gone. Where does this rank as far as
this is a great,
better ones?
This is a great episode.
What was good about it, and what could I do better next time?
Well, you're great. Okay. And you're a great conversationalist. Right. And there's a good mix of funny and talk and shop. Mm-hmm. I feel like you didn't hold anything back.
Right. I don't think I did.
You brought some great personal stories.
Right.
Hearing about the bar mitzvah and
what
Kasdan.
What could I do better?
Boy, I don't know.
More Ramit references?
More
Right. Okay. No, I can do that. I can work with that.
Yeah, so...
You gave some strong advice to young filmmakers. Mm-hmm. We covered it all.
Right. You feel like this is one of the more positive ones?
1,000%. Okay. You know why? Because you locked in also... You know, having some built-in camaraderie helps.
Right, right. So we already had that rapport.
Making fun of my plaque and my candles. No one's done that yet, but not to say that that's like something that you shouldn't do. So to answer your question, the
our best candle yet with the richest fragrances.
Well, say that into the mic.
Our best candle yet. It says so. That's what got you.
I want the best.
Why wouldn't you? You're a man. Did I also taste the Christmas lights in his house? You need the best candle. Our best candle yet.
What would you lastly say to a dude who is single with the you're in the apartment of a single dude, okay? Right. Now, is it a parent, or is it also just like, oh, cool, this guy just likes to have some flavor? This is the guy that if he worked at Applebee's wouldn't have enough buttons on his apron.
If this is a parent, this is a house that I'm not allowing my son to have a sleepover at. Let's just put it this way. There was a guy who owned a baseball card shop named Bubs. And Bubs was up to no good. And
that sounds like an 80s movie title.
If I had to shoot the Bubs biopic, I might use this as location.
There you go. That's a good compliment, Adam. Your apartment looks like
a potential serial killer.
Guy on the swivel chair.
Yeah. Dude.
Who's just there.
Dude on the swivel chair watching his laptop with a little grin on his face. Generic trophies, whistle pig, straight rye,
stair stepper,
Kermit the Frog looking longly at me, like a wine holder with no wine, a Stairmaster in the corner facing a Seattle Mariners canvas.
Sure.
The biggest TV I've ever seen in my life.
It is a 90-inch TV, yes.
It literally couldn't feel more
half a Christmas light.
Half a Christmas light.
But the nails up from the other lights that were there previously.
It couldn't feel more dangerous in here. And and I like it.
And you haven't even seen the fridge.
No, I'm imagining like blue Powerade. Blue Powerade, like a couple of Rolos.
At least two different kinds of Mountain Dew.
Some Laffy Taffy. And like a big, big bottle of grape juice.
I mean, 4 out of 5 ain't bad.
And Hidden Valley Ranch.
And my most inspirational plaque. And I got a double.
And, yeah.
I had a second print
in the
made.
Fridge,
just in case the girl went to late night snack.
Cold. It's nothing like a spanking from a cold plaque. Just get Shorecrest tattooed right on your lower back.
Oh God! All right. Well, I'm removing
Thanks
the
for having me,
Max. I love you.
I hope you keep this part.
Oh, we will.
You guys are great.
And everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.